This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
My brothers and sisters in Islam, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In these few minutes that I have with you, I wanted to share with you a few reflections from Juz' al-Dhariyat, more specifically from Surah al-Dhariyat. But at the very beginning, we all know Juz' al-Dhariyat in the Quran, the predominant message of Allah Azza wa Jal in Juz' al-Dhariyat, the central theme of Juz' al-Dhariyat, is discussing the promises of Allah Azza wa Jal. The promises of Allah, the inevitable promises of Allah in this life and in the afterlife. So Allah Azza wa Jal in this juz', He'll speak about the provision of mankind and how it's a guaranteed matter. Your rizq will get to you. In juz' al-Dhariyat, Allah Azza wa Jal speaks about the promises of the afterlife, the day of judgment, and how it will unfold. He speaks about the paradise and that the fact this will be the dwelling of the believers. He speaks about the hellfire and how this is an inevitable fact for the disbelievers and those who rejected Allah Azza wa Jal. You see this in Surah Al-Dhariyat, in Surah Al-Tur, in Surah Al-Najm, in Surah Al-Rahman, Surah Al-Waqi'ah, and so on. I wanted to share with you a few ayat that are found in Surah Al-Dhariyat itself. And brothers and sisters in Islam, before I share with you these ayat, the believer should question and ask, why does Allah Azza wa Jal always tell us about His promises? Why is it important for you and I to read Juz' al-Dhariyat often and to connect with the promises of Allah Azza wa Jal? Because when we're reading about the promise of Allah, what does that do? It prepares us. It helps us prepare for the afterlife and the meeting with Allah Azza wa Jal. That's what it does. So now let me take you to these ayat in Surah al-Dhariyat, in where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, إِنَّ. And إِنَّ is a word in the Arabic language that suggests certainty. So whatever comes after إِنَّ is a certain guaranteed fact. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, إِنَّ. Verily, certainly, al-muttaqeen, the righteous, the pious, fi jannatin wa uyun, they will be immersed and surrounded in gardens and in springs. That's the paradise that Allah Azza wa Jal promised the believers. Allahu Akbar. Who are al-muttaqeen, my brothers and sisters in Islam? Al-muttaqeen are those who uphold Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. Anything Allah commanded you to do, and you do it, that makes you a muttaqi, a person of taqwa and piety. And everything that Allah Azza wa Jal forbid us from, and you keep away from, that is what makes a person a muttaqi. So at-taqwa is to do what Allah Azza wa Jal commanded, hoping for His reward, and to keep away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid, fearing His punishment. This is at-taqwa. Brothers and sisters in Islam, the question is, how can a person remain steadfast and patient upon at-taqwa? How? Is there something that will enable us to remain patient upon the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal? Getting up every single day 5 times and offering a salat 5 times a day and fasting your Ramadan and giving the obligatory zakat and doing the deeds Allah Azza wa Jal wants you to do, that requires a lot of patience. And abstaining from al-haram, especially with social media in the hands of people and the opportunity for haram has become rampant and widespread, how can a person continue to find strength in remaining patient away from al-haram? And then also we have the many calamities and difficulties in life. How does a person remain steadfast and patient during these times? The answer is in the words, fi jannatin wa uyun, that you always focus on the jannat wa uyun, focus on Allah's promise. When I know that if I was to pray five times a day, Allah would reward me with jannatin wa ayun. It makes a salat easy. When I know every time I'm tempted to do a sin, but I keep away from it in hope that Allah grants me al-jannat wa ayun, I will be able to remain patient and keep away from al-haram. When I'm struggling in this worldly life through its various tests and calamities and trials and difficulties, right? People experience so many difficulties, relationship problems, health problems, financially related problems. But if I know that at the end of all these patience, I will have jannatin wa ayun, gardens, not just one jannah, jannat, gardens, wa ayun, and many springs, then I'm able to remain patient upon the tests and the trials that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send my way in this worldly life. Brothers and sisters in Islam, believing in the afterlife, believing in the promises of Allah, makes the tests in this worldly life bearable and easy for the believer. Worshipping Allah is a test. Allah is testing your faith. Keeping away from the sins is a test. Allah is testing your faith towards Him. And saying, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, walhamdulillah, in times of difficulty and calamity, these are also tests. Allah Azza wa Jalla is testing your steadfastness in these moments. So, Inna al-muttaqina fi jannatin wa ayun. And we have many examples in the Quran and in our Salaf and in our Sahaba to show us how this is done. If you looked at the case of Asiya radiallahu anha, the wife of Fir'aun, can you imagine? The wife of Fir'aun, she's living in his palace. And this person was a tyrant on another level the world has never witnessed and seen before. And he would persecute and torture his people. And when they were torturing, when his army were torturing his wife, Asiya, for her belief in Allah, the question is, how did this woman remain stable and steadfast upon her deen? How? It is found in her dua that she made. As she's being tortured, she was saying, رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِندَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنِ. She would say, my Lord, build me, near you, a house. You see where her eyes were? Her eyes were on the house in the paradise. Her eye was on the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal. And she was able to remain steadfast, firm and patient, unwavering in her iman and in her faith in Allah Azza wa Jal. Despite the immense torture she suffered under the hands of her husband Fir'aun. You see this? رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ. And she mentioned Allah before the house. She didn't say, my Lord, build me a house near you. She said, build me near you a house. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the goal. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the purpose in life. When that is your vision and this is what you're working for and this is what you're living for, every test becomes easy. And every obligation becomes easy to do. And every sin, it becomes simple upon the believer to abstain and keep away from. You find also in the case of Ghazwat Uhud, there was a companion, Anas ibn al-Nadr, radiallahu anhu. He's on the battlefield. That takes a lot of courage to be on the battlefield, fighting the disbelievers, the enemy of Allah, azza wa jal. Takes a lot of courage. So he steps on the battlefield and he says, Wa hal li rihil jannah, inni la ajidu rihaha duna Uhud. He said, in a moment where he can smell something, he said to the companions around him, I smell the fragrance of the paradise. And he didn't see the paradise with his eye. He can smell something with his nose. And he went forward and he fought until he was martyred. His sister then picked him up. She couldn't even recognize his body. He had about 80 stab wounds and spears that had entered into his body. And at that occasion, Allah Azza wa Jal revealed, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ. From among the believers, there are people that were true to what they promised Allah Azza wa Jal. We promised La ilaha illallah, We need to abide by this promise until we see Allah and until we meet the reward that He has promised us. That's how you can get along in life. That's how you can get through life. By always focusing on jannatin wa uyun. What a beautiful ayah. Innal muttaqin fi jannatin wa uyun. You want to remain steadfast upon at-taqwa wal-iman. Keep your eyes focused on al-jannat wa uyun. Allahu Akbar. Today. And nafs of mankind desires to enter a garden full of lush and greenery. And we desire to look at rivers and oceans. This is a desire for the human eye. We find peace and tranquility. Imagine then, Allah is telling us about jannatin wa uyun. That is, ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. The gardens and the rivers in the paradise is something the eye has never seen, the ear has never heard of, and the human mind can never comprehend or imagine. Allahu Akbar. إن المتقين في جنات وعيون. Allah Azza wa Jal then, He says, آخذين ما آتاهم ربهم. So these believers have entered the paradise, have enjoyed al-jannat wa'uyun, and Allah Azza wa Jal says about them, He says something about their attitude in the paradise. He said, they will take whatever their Lord has given them. Whatever Allah gives you of al-hur al-'ayn, of mansions, of castles, of fruit, whatever He gives them in the paradise, they will take and say alhamdulillah. But I want you to understand this. أَخِذِينَ مَا آتَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ. It implies that this was their situation in this worldly life. You see this, أَخِذِينَ مَا آتَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ. It implies contentment. That the believers in the paradise were content with what Allah gave them. They took it and they never complained. You know why? Because that's how their attitude was in this worldly life. In this life, they were content with what Allah gave them. Of health and wealth and blessings. They didn't say, oh Allah, I worship you day and night, yet my rizq is still limited and restricted. Why? No, they didn't do this. They did not look around and say, oh Allah, such and such person is a sinner. He's a mufsid. He's a corrupt person on earth and you've given him so much. Why? They weren't like this. أخذين ما آتاهم ربهم. They were content with what Allah gave them, of their spouses, whatever Allah gave you of children, alhamdulillah. What Allah gave you of a spouse, alhamdulillah. What Allah has given you of jobs, alhamdulillah. What Allah has given you of provision, alhamdulillah. Be content. Train the heart upon contentment. Because the believer, when he enters the paradise, his behavior in this worldly life will show in the afterlife. He'll be content with what Allah gives him. That's a major, major quality that should reside in the heart of believers. Contentment. Brothers and sisters in Islam, be content with everything Allah gave you except for two things. Be content with everything Allah gave you except with two things. That is knowledge and worship. Never ever be content with where your knowledge is today. Always strive to increase your knowledge and gain more and more. And never be content with your worship. No matter where your worship is, every day there is an opportunity for you and I to improve. Every salat we pray, there's an opportunity for you and I to improve. Don't be content with these two matters. That's why from everything in this worldly life, the very one thing in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would always ask Allah to increase him in was knowledge. وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. أخذين ما آتاهم ربهم إنهم كانوا قبل ذلك محسنين. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says about the believers, much before this, meaning much before they had entered the paradise, in this worldly life they were محسنين. They were محسنين. They practiced ihsan in their worship and in their jobs and in their actions and in their words. محسنين. What is al-ihsan, brothers and sisters in Islam? Al-ihsan is to worship Allah as though you can see Him. And if you cannot see him, then you are very sure that he subhanahu wa ta'ala can see you. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ مُحْسِنِينَ. Brothers and sisters in Islam, how does a person enhance his ihsan? How can we reach the level of ihsan, which is a great level of the muttaqeen? How do we do so? In the next ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us. He says, كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ. These muhsineen, the quality of theirs that made them and enabled them to reach the level of ihsan, which is a high level of iman, was that they would sleep a little at night. They would sleep a little at night. A very incredible, powerful language. Allah did not say they prayed a lot at night. He spoke nothing about their salat. Pay attention. He said they slept little at night. Why? There's three things to reflect over here. Number one, Allah is praising their sleep. He is praising their sleep. And if Allah is praising something, that means it's an action Allah loves. So why is Allah praising their sleep? Because they slept with an intention of resting this body for a couple of hours, then I will get up and pray at night. So now their sleep was praised and it was loved by Allah. And pay attention, he did not say, كانوا قليلا من الليل ما ينامون. You know the word ينامون, and النوم means to sleep. Well, يهجعون, الهجع also means to sleep. But there's something extra in the word يهجعون. It refers to the sleep at the beginning of the night. الهجع هو النوم أول الليل. So Allah Azza wa Jal praised the fact that they slept at the very beginning of the night. Why did they sleep at the beginning of the night? Because they know the last part of the night is a very virtuous time. How can a believer sleep the end of the night when he knows that Allah comes down to the first heaven? And he asks, هَلْ مِنْ سَائِلٍ فَأُعْطِيَهُ. Is there anyone that is requesting anything from me so I can give him? Is there anyone that is bothered and choked by his sins that wants to seek my forgiveness and I will forgive him? Is there anyone that has any need? Brothers, anyone have any need? Is anyone in a health dilemma, in a financial dilemma, in a very bad situation when it comes to his relationship with his wife and children? Allah is calling at that last third of the night. Get up and ask. And he's not just saying ask, he's saying I will give. I will give you. Wallahi al-azim, my brothers and sisters in Islam, the vast majority of our problems still remain with us because we haven't taken advantage of this time. Allah praised their sleep at the beginning of the night because they are intending to get up at the end of it. Then Allah did not say that they pray at night. He didn't say anything about salat. He just said they sleep at the beginning of the night. That is so that he can conceal their deed, which implies sincerity. They were sincere about their deeds. Allahu Akbar. And this is a moment to practice ihsan in your life. كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون. Wallahi, brothers and sisters in Islam, imagine. Today, here in London, Al-Isha is at 6 p.m. Imagine you slept at 6 and you slept. I know no one does this. No one does this, but let's just say, for example, let's say you slept at 7, max 8 o'clock. You slept at 8. You slept 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, and 2. And you got up at 2 o'clock, you slept 6 hours. And you got up and you have the rest up until 6 a.m. till Adhan al-Fajr to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah, you know, some people ask, how can it even be possible to sleep a little and then find the energy to continue the rest of the day until the night? Al-Barakah, brothers and sisters in Islam, wallahi al-Barakah. 1 hour that you sleep at the beginning of the night is equivalent to hours that you sleep at the end of the night. That's the secret. This is how the muhsineen used to achieve this type of salat at night. And this is the secret Allah Azza wa Jal alludes and gives our attention to, saying yahja'oon, to sleep at the beginning of the night. Then wallahi, 4 or 5 hours would be enough for the body to rest. And you make the most of the night afterwards. Then the third thing in this ayah, Allah did not say that they prayed at night. He didn't say anything about salat. We said, number one, because he's concealing their deed. Number two, he did not limit it to salat. It's open to many other worships. You get up, you pray, you read al-Quran, al-Dhikr, al-Dua. Even women. The woman that is menstruating, it is recommended for her also to get up and observe that blessed part of the night in dua, in dhikr, in something that she's able to do of the worships. The door's open for everyone. كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون. الله أكبر. And I'm going to conclude by bringing your attention to something very important in terms of what you can make the most of when it comes to the night. Wallahi, my brothers and sisters in Islam, let me give you this. You know, the most beloved deed to Allah Azza wa Jal is as-sujood, right? We all know this. This is the closest Allah will be to a slave when he's in sujood. أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. Allah loves this position. From the entire salat, the most beloved position to Allah is in sujood, because your body is prostrating to Allah and your tongue is praising Allah Azza wa Jal. This is a worship on a different level, as-sujood. I show you this. If we lived 60 years on earth, for example, 60 years, then out of 60 years, let's say you prayed 5 times a day and nothing more, just the wajibat, you would have made 17, there's 17 sujood, or there's 17 rak'at in the 5 daily prayers, and every rak'ah has 2 sujood, that's 34. 34 sujood in one day, if you're just praying the fard, right? If you live 60 years, take the first 10 years out, 50 years, you would have made, right? This is in one, if you pray 34 sujood every day, let's say you took 10 seconds in your sujood. People don't do 10 seconds. They do 6, blah, 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 3, 4. Let's say you took 10 seconds in every sujood. 10 seconds, 34 sujoods a day. That will equal to about 6 minutes of sujood a day. If you pray one whole year, that's equal to 1.5 days of sujood. In 50 years of your life, it'll equal about 75 days of sujood. Yani, 0.3% of your life was spent in sujood. Are we ready to stand before Allah having dedicated 0.3% of our life in the most beloved deed to Allah? Wallahi, I don't think anyone is ready. So what is the solution? The solution is, as Allah said, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَاسْجُدْ لَهُ وَسَبِّحْهُ لَيْلًا طَوِيلًا. And from the night, prostrate to Him. Prolong your sujood in as-salat at night. The night prayer is an opportunity to make up for this sujood so that you meet Allah Azza wa Jal having done a lot of the most beloved deed to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so at night in your sujood, prolong. 5 minutes sujood, no problems. Get used to it. Maybe you want to start with 1 minute sujood. Increase it to 2 until you increase it until, wallahi, there was a sheikh that spoke about a person in al-Masjid al-Haram. He said, wallahi, I finished my umrah and I sat next to someone who made a sajda for 40 minutes. He did not raise his head. Well, sheikh said to himself, by Allah, if he wasn't enjoying his sujood, he wouldn't have spent 40 minutes in it. But this is how we enhance our worship and always keep your focus, visualizing jannatin wa uyun, and that should increase your strength and patience upon worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.